Today on Real Life Radio.
You should be challenged enough to not believe what you believe because you were told to believe it. You should be convinced in what you believe because you have researched it to find out that it is in fact truth.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Hey, before we get into today's message, we're very excited to announce that we are launching a streaming service. It's called the Real Life Network. It's like Netflix or Hulu, but it's based on Christian and conservative content. It's totally free, so sign up at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's special edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now with a series of messages that we'll be breaking into on Fridays for the next few weeks. Today's message is called Signs of the Coming Antichrist, Part 2. Now, over these next few weeks, we'll look at current global events as they relate to Bible prophecy and what it really means for us as true followers of Jesus Christ. You see, the signs of the coming Antichrist are exhaustive in scope. The rapture of the church, which is called the Day of Jesus Christ, will trigger the time known as the Day of the Lord, that terrible day when the Antichrist will be revealed and the time when God will initiate his wrath on the earth. So on today's part of this series, Pastor Jack goes on to say that in the meantime, we're to be ready for the rapture to come, always looking up as we eagerly continue to do the Lord's work while there's still time. And now with his special message called Signs of the Coming Antichrist, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God's Bible says there's going to be a Babylonian Empire. And lo and behold, there's a Babylonian Empire. The Bible says there's going to be a Medo-Persian Empire. And lo and behold, are you with me? Are you tracking? The Bible says there's going to be a Grecian Empire. And then comes Alexander the Great. And the Bible says that there's going to be the Roman Empire. It's so specific that there's going to be a Roman Empire that is going to be more brutal than all the rest of them. But that empire will never be broken up or defeated. In reality, it will somewhat just dissolve. And the Roman Empire grew so big that it grew into two legs, as it were, the East and the Western empires of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire got so big that it just wound up, just fragmenting apart. And according to God's Bible, the Roman Empire in some way, shape, or form still exists. Now that's weird to us. But God says this is the way that it is. And so do keep that in mind, that God's word announces these things. And so what we hold to is the view that what God says he's going to do. And listen, when he is going to do something in the typological sense, somebody might say in a symbolic sense, he says so. He announces. He says, I saw something like. That's typology. You know it this way most simply. The Bible says in the Gospels that the Holy Spirit, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, he came up out of the water, and listen, don't answer out loud, because if you're wrong, you'll look horrible. And did a dove land on Jesus' shoulder when he came up out of the water? Nope. You say, I could have swore I read that somewhere. No, what you read was this. The Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus and came upon him like a dove. What do we know for sure? We know that the Spirit of God did not come and land on Jesus like an eagle or like a brick, but like a dove would land upon a branch. So the Spirit gently landed upon Jesus and his ministry began. We understand that. And so when we look at the scripture, listen, you must let the Bible in totality interpret the Bible. So when we look at this, look, this is a church gathering with all kinds of denominational persuasions. And so you may not recognize and or agree with what we're teaching about in the last day's events. Just know this. You should be challenged enough to not believe what you believe because you were told to believe it. You should be convinced in what you believe because you have researched it to find out that it is in fact truth. Bottom line to achieve that, let the Bible interpret the Bible, and it's best that you keep people out of it. God will speak to you. I'm convinced if you lived on a deserted island and this Bible, somebody threw it out of an airplane and it landed on your head, and you started reading it, you would come to a fine, excellent, biblical conclusion of all things because the Spirit of God will teach you using the Bible. It's very awesome. So remember this, the very theme, and can you guys take notes? Because I know I see most of you looking at me and I know you're not taking notes. Unless you downloaded the notes, and then even still, you should write on top of the notes. But the very theme of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, these are two books that Paul wrote to the believers at Thessalonica. When he wrote 1st Thessalonians, and this is extremely important, because you might hold a pre-tribulation rapture view. Remember, I mentioned pre-millennialism. Pre-millennialism often coincides, if not always coincides, with pre-tribulationalism. What is that? It's an announcement that Christ will come for the church before the seven-year tribulation period, because the seven-year tribulation period is strictly Jewish in its context. And you would never know that unless you've mastered the Old Testament. Having said that, there are those who are mid, or I'll just clump them together because they're too close to divide, mid or post-tribulational rapture people. They hold to that view, that the first 3.5 years is okay, the church is here, but we go up in the middle before it really gets bad. The problem with that is that you fail to recognize that the first 3.5 years is just as horrible as the second half. It's just different. It's a different kind of horrible. All 7 years, according to the Bible, is a time of great deception, and the last part of the seven-year tribulation period is a time of great violence, and when God begins to pour out his wrath upon the earth at the exact same time, that last 3.5 years. But here's the punchline that I want you to remember. Paul writes to them 2 Thessalonians, which we just read a moment ago, and do you remember, you read it, he said to them, don't be troubled, don't be upset. Why are you guys upset? I told you what I told you in 1 Thessalonians, hang on to that. But we know from church history, false teachers came in and said, oh no, we contradict Paul, and the people got upset. In other words, Paul, we thought that we were not going to see the Antichrist. We thought that we were not going to see the day of the Lord. We thought that we were not going to see all that wrath poured out upon the earth. And Paul tells them, why are you upset? That's exactly what I told you in the first book I wrote to you. You guys, does that make sense? Listen, that should be your first challenge this morning. Why did he write 2 Thessalonians? Answer, the people were upset. Question, what were they upset about? Answer, they thought they had missed the rapture. Paul tells them, calm down, you haven't missed it. And so people wind up getting in debates and they project a view that they have without reading or considering the totality of what the Bible says. The Bible must interpret the Bible. Remember this, everybody. What's going to trigger this day of the Lord that we're reading about in 2 Thessalonians 2? Because somebody might say, well, doesn't that prove that the rapture doesn't happen? No, it's the exact opposite. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. So this is really going to happen, people. With the voice of the archangel, that's really going to happen. And with the trumpet of God, that's going to happen. And the dead in Christ will rise first. That means those who are in heaven now, in spirit, their bodies are in the grave right now. You and I know people whose bodies are in the grave right now. When the Lord comes to pick up the church, whenever that is, that dead's going to rise first. When he does that, watch, listen carefully. He's going to bring with him my mom, my dad, my sister, Charles Stanley. Yeah, wow. He's in heaven this week. His first Sunday in heaven. He's coming back. And listen, the Bible says his body will be resurrected, and he's going to get that new body. And then we who are alive and remain, if it happens in our moment, in our lifetime, we're going to be caught up to meet them in the air. And there's a beautiful catch to that, remember? He comes into the atmosphere, calls us up, and he takes us back home. Friends, if you have a post-tribulation rapture view, you ain't got that going on. In fact, if you're a post-tribulationist, you need to go to John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, get a pair of scissors and cut that out of your Bible. And then I wouldn't suggest that because the Bible says that's a really bad thing to do. But he goes on to say in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. I find it fascinating that Paul, in his famous we statements, Paul said, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's the promise he left them. And people came along and said, no, 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 Paul, listen, the Lord delays his return. Peter warned that in the last days there'll be those who will be mockers and scoffers about the coming of the Lord for his people. Watch out. Be careful. She says, Pastor Jack, why are we studying this portion then about the Antichrist? What's that all about? Because as I mentioned last week, we have to interrupt our study in the book of Romans because there's too much going on around the world right now that's just aligning up too crazy weird that we must give it some attention. Because if we're starting to see the stage lined up for the next grand finale, then how soon is the show going to start? Just remember this. Before the show starts, Jesus is going to come by and pick you up. Wouldn't it be nice? Right? Big limo pulls up. All God's people get on board. And then the end time show begins. But if we see the movers and the set designers setting stuff up and making sure the wiring and the sound is just right, as it were, for the end time stage, for the Antichrist to be revealed, then wow, let's keep our eyes open as a church and be ready. Always be ready. The Bible commands us to be ready. And so in the process of making disciples, everybody, it's the responsibility of the church. And I love what I'm about to say. It's not because I wrote it. It's because I believe it. It's this, in the process of making disciples. I like that part. Churches are supposed to make disciples. Okay? It's our responsibility of the church to be always ready and to make his church ready. Throughout the Bible, we are called to be a ready people. And you got to stop and ask yourself. Be investigative on this. Curious minds want to know. Inquiring minds want to know, why does the Bible say, be ready, always be watching, always be watching? Nowhere in the Bible does it say, be watching for the Antichrist, be watching for the Antichrist, does it? It says, be watching for Jesus Christ. There's a reason for that. Read the Bible in its totality. So I've intentionally selected this topic regarding that stage setting. By way of brief background, you will never understand the topic of what we're looking at without you taking the time to study Daniel chapter 9. Now, you ought to study the book of Daniel, period. You cannot understand. It's impossible to know the book of Revelation without studying the book of Daniel. You'll be lost. What's brought up in Daniel is answered in Revelation. But God told Israel, because you have not honored in worship of me, you have really gone on your own, and you've violated my land, you have violated my law, and God says, you owe me 490 years that you've robbed from me, and I'm going to get them out of you. And when you look at the history of Israel in the scripture, that God did exactly that, and in Daniel chapter 9, it tells you right when God gets up to that moment to where a very monumental thing takes place in chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. It says that the prince or the Lord himself will come, but he will be killed. The word in Hebrew is karat. He will be killed for a capital offense, the Messiah. That's in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Speaking of the Messiah, is going to be killed for committing a crime. What crime would the Messiah commit that would get him killed? The crime of declaring himself to be God. To those who don't believe it, they went to Rome and said, this man must die. But that's all written in Scripture. God pre-arranged this and pre-notified us of this in Scripture. Jesus wasn't murdered. It was all done according to the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And when this began to unfold, check it out, as I told you guys last time. It's very important, though. It bears repeating that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, it was the 483rd year of that fulfillment. And when Jesus was crucified, there was a gigantic pause button pressed. 490 years were promised where God says, Israel, you owe me. But on the 483rd year, the Messiah was crucified. And there's been this 2,000 year pause where the church and the gospel has been the predominant force in the earth, not the Jew. Listen, the Jew has not been the preacher and the evangelist of the gospel. I mean, you already know that. In fact, they resist us, even though we love them, and they love us. They just think we're nuts. But it's so funny. I'm not Jewish, but my God's Jewish. My God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And a Jew will say to me, you can't say that. You're a Gentile. Oh, yes, I can. Your Hebrew prophet Isaiah said I could. God said through the prophet Isaiah that God would call a people who are not his people by faith, and he would draw all the Gentiles to himself. Think of that. So today, which fulfills and Romans, where Paul said the Gentiles, us who are not Jews, our love for the Jewish God should provoke the Jew to jealousy. Did you know that? And we do. When we know the Hebrew scriptures more than the Jews today, that drives them nuts. And they go, how do you know this? I read your book. You ought to read your book sometime. It's amazing. Jesus was crucified in the 483rd year. 2,000 years have passed. I want you to think now, 490 years were promised, 483 years were completed. How many years are left? That's why, listen, the tribulation period is Jewish. When people try to read about the tribulation period and they read the word elect or saints, they get confused. They immediately think from their perspective, that's the church. No, you're wrong. It's the tribulation saints who come to faith in Christ because of the saints, which are the Jews who preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. In other words, the children of Israel pick up where the church leaves off. How does that happen? The Holy Spirit steps out of the way, presents us to Christ in the atmosphere, John 14, 1 Thessalonians 4, and the evil one is released, and that's when God goes to work on the Jewish people to finish the Great Commission through them. Think of that. And so we mentioned these things, and you have them in your notes. The signs of the coming Antichrist. We remember that in four places in the New Testament, the Antichrist, as the exact term, appears in Scripture. 1 John 2:18. I'm not going to quote him. You already got him. 1 John 2:18. 1 John 2:22. 1 John 4, verse 3. And 2 John 1, verse 7, John speaks about this one who's the Antichrist. And he said, remember, there's the spirit of the Antichrist. There are those who say that Jesus is in God. They are acting as Antichrist. And then there is the Antichrist, the man who would come. But listen very carefully, friends. This is a very important thing because there was a lot of debate about this. The day of the Lord, watch my hands because I lack the speaking skills to say it like a normal human being. You have to watch my hands. Okay? Here's where you and I are living right now. If Christ were to take the church up today, that's the day of Christ. Listen, it's the day of the Lord Jesus. He takes us up. Listen, the moment that happens, the day of the Lord begins. That's why when you read the apostle in 2 Thessalonians, he's not saying that the tribulation comes at the end because of the day of the Lord. He's saying that in a simultaneous moment, the moment the church is taken up, the day of the Lord begins. We don't know how that looks and how that transpires. If we were to get raptured today where the Lord takes us up, does that mean Satan goes on national TV in an hour? We don't know that. Is it going to be a month? Is it going to be a year? It doesn't say. Are you with me? It doesn't say. We could only speculate. Who knows? There could be years that go by. Could be minutes. It doesn't say. We just know this. The rapture, when Christ takes us up at that same instant, the day of the Lord begins here on earth. And note takers, write this down. Spare yourself some grief. The day of the Lord covers the moment after the rapture takes place, and it's referred to all the way through the 7 years. And when Christ returns, it refers to all of the 1,000-year reign of Christ to the end of the millennium is the day of the Lord. And just to confuse you more, the day of the Lord comes to an end when Christ judges the world at the end of the 1,000 years, and then the Bible says the day of God begins. And the day of God is when eternity for us and for all is set. There's no more mess to clean up. It's not only heaven, but the day of God, singular. It's a day that is forever with him. It's absolutely awesome. But just remember this, the day of the Lord, you're gonna hear this and it's gonna shock you. The day of the Lord is not a happy day. I'm not looking for the day of the Lord. So Jack, what? No, if you heard what I just said, I'm looking for the day that Christ comes for us. I'm looking for the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. The day of the Lord. Well, Malachi 4, verse 1 begins by saying, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear the name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves." He's talking about the events that take place after the second coming. The earth is going to blossom. Things will be blessed for that 1,000-year period of time. But watch this. "You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts." Verse 4. "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." A profound announcement. 2,000 years ago, the Jews knew this verse and they got confused. Because Jesus even had announced to them, to the disciples, if you can handle it, John the Baptist has come in the spirit of Elijah. In other words, the kingdom has come to you. What they didn't understand was, I've got to fulfill Isaiah 53 still. I've got to fulfill Psalm 22. I've got to be crucified. I've got to be rejected. I've got to go back to heaven. There's a church to be saved. And I'm going to pick this up with you later on. But just know this, before the later on happens, Elijah must come. Regarding the ministry of Jesus Christ, friends, Elijah's never come.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his special message called Signs of the Coming Antichrist Part 2. Thanks for being with us today, and what's on the horizon really does matter, and our prayer is that you've come to know Jesus personally and that you are eagerly awaiting the Lord's return. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Wars, racial unrest, monetary crisis, lawlessness. Where are the strong leaders needed to guide the world through these perilous times? Answer, there are none. But one is coming, a consummate politician and man of the hour, he will appear to have solutions to these global problems and more. The Bible calls him the Antichrist. Today's church is often misinformed regarding this coming world leader. Yet Christians need an accurate understanding of what Scripture teaches concerning who the Antichrist is and the extent of his supernatural deception if they are to warn the unsaved. In his series called Signs of the Coming Antichrist, Pastor Jack Hibbs analyzes current global events in light of biblical prophecy regarding the Antichrist. This telling series is available as a 3-DVD set at our website, jackhibbs.com. Don't be caught in the dark when it comes to end times events. Get the Signs of the Coming Antichrist DVD set. It's available today at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.